He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Perhaps the saddest words in all of Scripture. But that's the stark reality, isn't it, as we gather here tonight on Christmas Eve. As prevalent as Christmas, the cultural celebration, is all around the world this night, as millions and millions of people celebrate gift-giving and joy and peace and Christmas dinner, they do so without ever receiving the greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ himself. During Christmas tonight, all over the world, millions of people refuse to receive God's gift of himself in the person of Jesus Christ. Well, as we consider this, as we examine God's word tonight, let's pray for God's help that we might not make that mistake and that we might receive the gift of Jesus this Christmas. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, as we approach this Christmas, please help us to realize that we are yours. Please help us to recognize you and to receive you. Savior and Lord, please help us to hear you now through your word. We ask it in your name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, let me add my welcome to Peter's, to you, to St. Alfred's tonight. My name is Wei Han, and I'm a member of the staff team here at St. Alfred's. I'm in charge of our young adults, I guess, which takes a bit of doing, and I'm not usually in a suit. I thought I'd better dress up, being Christmas Eve, and a number of the regulars have commented already, thanks for nothing. Well, welcome to St. Alfred's. It's great to have you here and great to be able to come to God's Word together tonight. Well, what do you do with a Christmas present you don't really want? Some of you might be getting some in a very little while. Someone you really love or someone you hold in high regard gives you a gift that's, frankly, incomprehensibly hideous. It might be a purple sweater with yellow polka dots and pink stripes or something like that. Has anyone ever got a gift like that before? Just kind of murmur amongst yourselves, yeah. What do you do with such a gift? Do you throw it away? Or do you keep it? Must you keep it just in case Great Aunt Ethel asks about it one day? Well, when I was in school, my best friend at the time, who was in fact my best Christian friend at the time, gave me just such a gift. Till today, I have no idea what it is or what I do with it. It's probably a small paperweight or an ornament of some sort. It's a little piece of rock on which is seated a comic crocodile. He's sitting human-like on his bum with his hands behind his head like he's on a banana lounge, legs crossed, with his tail coming out in between his legs, just like that. Yeah, it's kind of rude, actually. I have no idea what he was thinking. And actually, buddy, if you're listening to this sermon on our internet, I've still got it. Because, of course, you are a great friend, and I couldn't throw it away. I didn't know what to do with it, but I couldn't throw it away. So, of course, what happened was it ended up in the corner of a shelf, and eventually, about 10 years ago, it ended up under a rose bush in a corner of a garden where it still lives, faded and largely forgotten until this week when I was searching for a sermon illustration. So it has proved useful. Well, for so many in the world today, God's great gift of his only son at Christmas is just like that unwanted, slightly hideous, maybe rude Christmas gift. That unwanted present that no one can quite throw away. It doesn't occupy a central place in their lives, but they haven't thrown it away because maybe just in case one day it might come in useful, or there's just some sort of vague connection of significance that we have with that gift. So it's left in the corner, and remembered maybe once or twice a year. I wonder if Jesus is like that for anyone here tonight. Just like that unwanted Christmas gift. Well, I've got two questions for us tonight as we look briefly at John's Gospel together. In this sermon entitled God's Gift of Himself, two questions. First, who is Jesus? And second, what do we do with him? Who is Jesus? The answer from the words of our Christmas carols, of course, is obvious. O come, all ye faithful, come and behold him, born the King of Angels. Come and adore him, Christ the Lord. Who is Jesus? The answer from John chapter 1, which might come up on the screen, is obvious. Verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the eternal Word of God, with God in the beginning, and very God himself. You see, the baby asleep in the manger is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This seemingly illegitimate child of the Virgin Mary is the miraculous incarnation of the eternal Creator God himself. Verse 3 tells us, through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Jesus is the Creator. He made and sustains everything. We heard in our Hebrews reading that the Son, that is Jesus, sustains all things by his powerful word. But wait, there's more. Look at verse 4. In him was life, and that life was the light of all men. Jesus is the life of the world and the light of the world. You see, Jesus doesn't just create and sustain life, but Jesus gives to us life that is really life. The kind of life that is light to all humanity. It's true, isn't it, if you think about it just for half a second, that you can be physically alive, but really kind of half dead. You can be alive, breathing and eating and sleeping, but really living in darkness and depression. You can have a job, significant relationships, fun hobbies, but really there's still something missing. Purpose and meaning and true fulfillment is absent from your life. True joy isn't there, and there isn't that sure and certain knowledge that your life has real and eternal significance. That's the kind of life that is described here. Life that brings light to every human being. You see, in Jesus, there's that lit up kind of life that has a kind of blazing clarity to it. When a new owner of that kind of life gets it, they cry out, this is it. This is the kind of life I've been waiting for all of my life. Now at last, I know why I'm here. My life has meaning and purpose. I know what I'm supposed to do, and I know where my eternity lies. This is life that is really life. If you're a brother or sister in Christ here tonight, then you already know this life that is light. This kind of life that Jesus gives, this light of men and women and boys and girls all over the world who are celebrating Jesus' birth tonight. But the question for each of us is that me? Is that my life? Do I have this lit up kind of life here tonight? The kind of life that only Jesus gives. If you don't, then this is God's gift to you this Christmas. We read, the light of the world is coming into the world. But of course, we also read, and we saw in that drama from verse 10, Jesus was, in fact, in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. The saddest words in all of Scripture. Jesus, the great God creator himself, rejected by his own creation. Jesus, the creator and sustainer of everything, the owner of everything, rejected by those he owns. Can you imagine it? If you have children, perhaps you could. You imagine your own child rejecting you and your love. Or perhaps you've worked hard to create something at work, or to build up a team somewhere, or to repair broken relationships. And then everyone turns around and they completely disown you. It's all your fault. You're the bad person in the situation. They vilify your involvement completely. How devastating would that be? How tragic. And how true, in fact, of Jesus. Because that is, in fact, what happened to him. In fact, rejection is exactly where the Christmas story begins and ends. The baby Jesus, rejected, no room in the inn, born in a stable all forlorn, laid in a manger, fleeing Bethlehem for Egypt. And then at the end of his life, Jesus Christ, crucified at Easter, deserted by God the Father, deserted by his friends, thrice denied by Peter. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. And yet we read, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Dear friends, the good news, the gospel news, is that God uses rejection to achieve salvation. There is a free gift of relationship with God, light and life through Jesus Christ, for all who would receive him, for all who would recognize him for who he is, creator and king and Lord and savior and God, for all who would believe in his name, Jesus Christ, King of kings, Lord of lords, Prince of peace, risen king, returning judge, glorious one of God. To all those, he gives the right to become children of God, to live in the light instead of darkness, to receive life that is really life, an incredible life now, an eternal life with him then. Dear friends, is that you tonight? Is that your life? Have you recognized and received that Jesus Christ? What do we do with this Jesus Christ? Do we, like so much of the world, fail to recognize him? Or do we see him for who he is, become children of God, and receive, in the words of verse 16, one blessing after another, light and life? If you want to hear more about what it means and what it looks like to receive Jesus, then you do well to keep coming along to St. Alps. You might come this Sunday, if I'm alive, I'm preaching again, from the third chapter in this gospel on God's gift of a fresh start with Jesus. But tonight, tomorrow, this Christmas, still, you might receive some frankly hideous gift from someone. It might not be a rock cartoon, slightly rude crocodile like the one I have. But when you look at your Christmas present, when you unwrap your Christmas gift tonight, perhaps, would you remember to please think about God's gift to you this Christmas, Jesus Christ. As you unwrap and catch first sight of a gift that someone's given you, would you remember to think about the gift that God gives, Jesus himself? Would you think about the gift that Jesus gives, the gift of light and life that is really life? And as you do that, you'll need to make a decision. What do I do with this gift? What do I do with Jesus? Will I put him on a shelf somewhere till next Christmas? Or will he go under the rose bush in the corner of the garden until I need him again? Or will I recognize him and receive him for who he is? Will I believe in his name and become a child of God and receive from God that light and that life which is really life? Let me finish with three possible responses to what I've said tonight. Firstly, you might say, thanks but no thanks. I like my Christmas just the way it is. Once a year with Jesus is more than enough for me. In which case, thank you for playing tonight. But please let me encourage you to keep reading Psalm 98, which we read before, or Isaiah 52, which we also read before, and in fact, any of the Gospels. But this time, please read it as a serious thinking adult reader. And please notice in the Bible the serious warning that if you don't take Jesus seriously now, he won't take you in at all when he comes into his kingdom. We know, don't we, that how we treat others today has a direct impact on how they'll treat us tomorrow. So it's the same with God. How you treat God today has a sure and certain impact on how he will receive you tomorrow. That's what the scriptures say, plainly and simply. Second possible response, you might say, I'm interested, but I'm not so sure. I need more time and thought. Well, if that's you, then please, please, please tonight, don't go home without talking to me or Peter or another leader here at St. Alfred's. We'd love to chat with you and help you along the way. Tell us, I'm interested. That would be the best start to a conversation that I could have tonight. I've also got here four copies of a book by Lee Strobel entitled The Gift or The Case for Christmas. It says here on the back, and I know this to be true, that Lee Strobel was a skeptic, an unbeliever, till 1981 when he became a Christian. And he then used all of his legal and journalistic training to investigate the evidence for Christ, for Creator, and in this little book, for Christmas. This book looks at some of the evidence for the things that I've been talking about. If you're interested, I've got four copies of this book, and it's first come, first served. Form an orderly queue, no tackling, please. And you can have one, but it won't be free. The condition that's attached to taking one of these books is firstly that you'll read it, and secondly that you'll have a conversation with me in January when I'll ask you, what did you think of The Case for Christmas? So if that's you, I've got four copies, first come, first served. Third possible response. The third possible response is that you might be a regular or semi-regular member of St. Alfred's or another church. You've already recognized and received Jesus for who he is. If that's you, sister or brother, then this Christmas, rejoice. Rejoice with me. Rejoice with all your heart. Sing. Sing with all your strength. Praise God again for his glorious gift. And resolve again to keep the gift of God this Christmas. Jesus himself. Keep that gift. Keep it in the center of your life. Don't hide him on a shelf where you put your spare Bibles. Don't put him out in the garden, because some of you I know feel closer to God in the garden. Don't relegate him to second place in your life, behind your career or your hobbies or even your families. Keep the Lord Jesus front and center and first in everything. And keep saying, Lord, thank you. Praise you. I'm here as your child. Now lead me deeper and deeper into this life that is truly life. Well, three responses for each of us to consider tonight to the gift of God himself in the person of Jesus Christ, our King of Kings,
Lord of Lords, Savior, Redeemer, and Friend. Amen.